What did Peter do during those 3 days when Jesus, you know, was doing whatever spiritual work he was? Peter West goes around, you know, like nothing has happened. And nowadays, for some people, they don't say, let's go fishing, since sometimes it's a bit cold to go fishing in winter. Say, let's go shopping. Let's go to the mall. Let's hang out. And they bury all inside. But the pain is something you cannot run from. You know one thing, and perhaps if we have time, we'll touch on that in our healing process. No matter how deep you hide it, it will still come out in your dreams. Because you cannot hide yourself in a dream. Your conscious mind conk out, so all the subconscious comes forth in your daily activity, especially the pain you have. But let's move on in our subject. 3 days. And then he began to hear this news from this sister, Mary was her name. And she ran excitedly to them. This is the first time, right? And of course, all the women were sad. And of course, you know the story in the Bible. It was Mary Magdalene who first saw the Lord. And so this, when they saw, she ran. And guess who she ran to? To the most prominent disciples. So she ran all the way, you know. She must be running, not too fast, not too slow, right? And so, she ran all the way to Peter. Oops, is this long enough? Okay. Let's see. Okay. Ran all the way to Peter, and says to Peter, right? And catch Stephen because he got a beard, right? In those days, Peter had a beard. And said, Peter, the tomb is empty. It's empty. And so there's Peter, there's John. And so when they heard that, remember the pain was still inside. Peter says, huh? The Lord is gone. His body is gone. So you begin to have this unplanned marathon race. So Peter and John start running back to the tomb. Run back all the way. And the Bible is very interesting in observing this fact. They say that John ran faster than Peter, probably smaller size too. And, so John outran Peter. John went, yeah, oh, oh, wow. And remember how much John loved the Lord, right? Yeah, the Lord was where he lay his head on the bosom of the Lord, and he just loved the Lord. He ran all the way to the tomb, and the Bible says when he ran near the tomb, he put on his brake, right? And pretty fast, road runner. And he didn't dare to go in. And here comes Peter with his big steps, right? According to some traditions that he was quite a big man. He goes, boom, 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 boom. And he never stopped. There's John waiting by the tomb. And Peter just went in, boom, boom. And he saw that the tomb was empty. What was going on in his mind? The Lord hasn't appeared to them yet. So they went back with their mates, the disciples, and they all started talking about these strange things. And all these people gathered, and then they hear about these two disciples who supposedly met the Lord on the way to Emmaus. They also came telling the disciples. So all these reports start coming in. Then here's Peter, there's pain in his heart that he has denied Jesus. Here is the group of people, and then you read the stories at the end of all the Gospels. As they were gathered together, some of them hear these stories, some believe, some didn't believe. And suddenly Jesus appeared to them. In their midst, right through the closed door, right through the wall, Jesus suddenly appeared. And says, peace be still. If you are Peter, you probably, you know, say, oh Lord, I hope you don't remember that I did deny you. Now he's sitting with his disciples here. Hey John, go and say hello to the Lord. And usually, if you read the gospel story, Peter is the one who always speaks first. He's one of those people who engage his mouth before his mind. And He always speaks first. But in this particular case, he was very quiet. The one who spoke was Thomas. Says, who later on, when he came and heard, and he said, so the disciples didn't record any great speech or any questions. But later on, Thomas says, when the disciples say the Lord has appeared to us, says, I won't believe it until I touch him and feel him. All the time, Peter was carrying this thing because when you have denied a person and you come face to face with the person, don't you feel a bit awkward? All these feelings are still coming. And Jesus knew that Peter needed inner healing. Now, Peter must have some assurance that the Lord loved him. And in the book of John, Gospel of John, there they are out fishing again, hanging around with their mates. In John chapter 21, after these things, in verse 1, Jesus showed himself again by the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathaniel of Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, that is James and John. Two other of the disciples, so there were quite a number of them. They were all together. So they were hanging out. They were fishing. There was three. Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they said, we are going with you. So they all went fishing that day. And as they were fishing, because they're still wondering, you know, what direction to go, where to go, suddenly, out in the shore, as they were coming back in verse 4, they fish, and in verse 3, they had no fish. Zero produce for their effort. They came back with nothing, empty-handed. As they came near to the shore, they could see this figure standing on the shore. And he called out to them, children, have you any food? They answered, no. Remember, they were across the waves in the shore, on the sea. And then he said, that person said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Sounds familiar. They threw it down. And suddenly, there was so much fish that they could hardly pull it out. Sounds familiar. That was the first time they met the Lord. The same thing happened. Remember, Peter and John. When they went all night fishing, they couldn't find any fish. Jesus says, cast it on your right side. Suddenly, there was this multitude of fish. This is the same thing. So when they saw the fish, so much that they could not draw it out. That was how much it was. John, verse 7, must have whispered to Peter, it is Jesus. It is the Lord. And when Peter heard it, he plunged into the sea, swam towards the shore to meet this person, Jesus. Because it is beginning all over again. Like a restoration for Peter. Same interesting fish miracle. Jump into the sea as he came near to the shore. He must have a bit of conversation with Jesus. And in verse 9, as soon as they had come near to the land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid on it and bread. The fish must have been brought by Peter. Grab a few fish in his, whatever he was holding at that time, jump into the sea, swam to Jesus, brought some fish quickly to Jesus. Maybe as a peace offering, whatever. Now, where did the fish come from? Remember, their boat was coming in, By the time the boat landed, the fish was already cooking. So who brought the fish? Peter. He grabbed a few fish, came, and he wanted to serve Jesus. Peace offering. Whatever. Remember, his heart was still heavy, hurt, bleeding. And he wants to do things to restore back their relationship with Jesus. And there was a coal of fire that was prepared. And if you've been around coal fires, you know coal fires give out a smell. All right? Just like gas fire sometimes give out a certain smell. And when you cook food over charcoal, your food has a charcoal carbon taste on it. And if you read carefully from the cross reference, at the very place where Peter denied Jesus 3 times, it was over a coal fire that he was trying to warm himself up. The familiar smell was there. Now this is what happened to us many times. When an incident that is familiar to you is remembered as a bad incident, subconsciously we transfer the pain of that incident into something irrational. And like sometimes when people had a bad experience in drowning, because of their bad experience, they transfer their fear or the painful moment or memory of drowning into a fear of water, which is an irrational fear. So they become fearful of anything that has to do with water, or being on top of the water, over the water, or in the water. So it becomes irrational. And there is a possibility that every time Peter smells coal fire, he remembers he denied Jesus. Every time he comes near a fire, if it was a painful experience, he could easily remember how painful it was. And he actually needs healing. Now you understand why. At that very moment, Jesus took Peter aside and says, "Peter, do you love me?" Now I know about the play on Greek words, but that's not what we're talking. Let's focus just on Jesus having an intimate heart-to-heart talk with Peter. And says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "I love you, Lord." Jesus says, "Well, feed my lamb, tend my lambs." Then he wait a while. Then he came back to Jesus again, came to Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, I love you, Lord. You know I love you." Then Jesus goes away again. Then the last time he came to Peter and says, he waited some time. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter was aggravated by now. You can hear a little bit of whining in his voice when he says here to Jesus in verse 17, John 21. He says, "Lord, you know all things." He's beginning to come to the Lord in a manner. He says, "You know all things. You know how much I failed you. You know how much I denied you. But you also know that in spite of everything, I love you." And then Jesus says, begin to talk to him about being prepared to sacrifice his own life for him. And you know, from that day onwards, every time Peter remembered a coal fire, smelled the smell of coal fire, his mind and the enemy may try to remind him of how he denied Jesus. But the Holy Spirit will remind him how he confessed 3 times to Jesus that he loved Jesus. "I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." I love you, Lord. So something changed inside Peter. And I believe he received an inner touch of healing in his life. Now here's a person with a certain character, touched and healed by the Lord. Let's see him reacting to someone of an opposite character. Peter and Paul are different types of character. Peter, in his natural character, is a person who actually avoids confrontation. Even though he was the guy responsible for cutting somebody's ear, actually he was aiming for the head. The guy ducked and he got the ear because the guy's ear was sticking out. And so, even though he was, you know, very fast in some areas, but generally, because his background was unlearned, he was not one given to debates and arguments. Maybe he was an action man, that's definitely true. But most of the time, he avoided confrontations. And you see him in Acts chapter 2 and 3, God using him mightily. Right up to chapter 4. In fact, the whole book of Acts, it covers different men of God, but it centers around two lives. From Acts chapter 1 to chapter, right on to chapter 12, it covers the life of Peter, with a bit of mention of Stephen and Philip, and John. But primarily, Peter's life. Then from Acts 13 onwards, it covers the life of the Apostle Paul. So you have the Acts of the Apostles, plural, but actually it was focusing on two men, Peter and Paul. And let me show you how Peter is someone who avoids confrontation. As God was using him, and as the church was growing, many times when Peter was...